Just want to take a moment before we pray and begin our service. If you have your bulletins, I do want you to take notice. Sometimes we forget what Memorial Day is all about, and there is a little, you're not waving your arms loud enough. There's a little cartoon in the middle of our bulletin. Thanksgiving is when we pause to give thanks for the things we have, and Memorial Day is a day when we pause to give thanks to the people who fought for the things that we have. And today's message, I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to encourage you. Today's message, I usually have about 4 pages, but I've got about 1/4 of a page of outline, and that's it. But I've got about 6 pages of introduction. But I really want to give a little history, a little information behind. You know, we want to celebrate Memorial Day, and we should, and I hope we'll take some time out to remember. But let's be careful not to forget also not just thanking the veterans for what they've done for us, but let's also remember the martyrs who set the course and the pace that we have the religious freedom that we have. And we'll talk a little bit about both of that this morning in our service. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord's Prayer. We'll ask God's blessings upon our service. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness, the blessings and joy of service, the blessings and joy of fellowship. Pray that you bless our choir as they sing and minister to us. Pray that you'd help us today to put away the concerns of the world, and Lord, and just lift our hearts and voices in song as we praise you. Now, Father, move in our midst. Have your way, Lord, and may we yield ourselves to thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. After we have lunch, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Enoch, would you please ask God's blessings on our offering?
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Father, may you receive our tithes and offerings. May we give it with a cheerful heart, Lord. We give to you a small portion of the many blessings that you have blessed us with, Lord. Father, we thank you for each and every one that is able to be here this morning. Those that are traveling or those that are not feeling good, we pray that you be with them also. Father, in this day we remember our servicemen and women, Lord, that have from the beginning when this country was founded in your word, Lord, to have that freedom to worship you, Lord. And sadly, our country is going south. It's going the wrong way. But Father, may those few that remain, may we be loyal and faithful to you, Lord. Father, we remember those that have died in protecting our country. We remember those that are serving our country, those that will be serving our country also, Lord. But also we remember those from Genesis all the way to Revelation, Lord, that have fought and died for serving you, Lord. Father, we remember this young couple from Oklahoma that lost their lives in Haiti, Lord, serving you, Lord. Not because they were doing something wrong, but because they were serving you, Lord. So we remember all those that have fought and died for you, Lord. Father, we thank you once again and bless the tithes and offerings, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen.
As we prepare to go, Lord, in prayer, let's remember, as we set aside, let's go ahead and take the time not only to pray for the leadership and the men in our church family, of course, the preaching, but also for those that not only have gone on before us as martyrs, but those also that have stood and defended our freedom and maybe even given their life in order to do that. And today, those are also that are in harm's way defending our freedom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before thy throne, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us, Father. Father, I want to ask this morning that you would just please put a special hedge of protection about the men of Harvest, Lord. Put a protection around them, Lord, protection from sin, from physical harm and distress, Father. Not only that are those that are here represented us here today in our church, but there's also those that are maybe home, not feeling well, those that are traveling. Father, give them safety, protect them, Father. Father, help us as a nation, as a country, as a people to remember those who have gone on before us and willing to make the sacrifices they made and giving their life not only for religious freedom of martyrs, but the veterans who gave their life that we might have the freedoms that we have in our country today. Father, bless our men, bless our nation, bless our country. Father, thank you for our ladies and our children and young people in our church who stand behind and encourage their pastor and pastor's wife and the men in leadership in our church and praying and encouraging them, Father. Thank you so much for them. And I pray that you would bless them, encourage them, give them strength, give them wisdom, give them insight, Father. Help us as a church, Father, to continue to remember to pray for one another, but also to pray for our nation. Father, I pray to, again, especially for our nation today, for many countries, many states, many counties, many cities will have a special day on Monday of laying of wreaths and remembrance of those who have given their life for the freedoms we have. Father, help us not to take that for granted. Father, help us to have the enjoyable weekend that we'll have, but also set aside some time of being grateful and being thankful for those who have gone on before us. Now, Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless the special music that will come and the preaching of thy word. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read my text real quick, I'm from the East Coast. I'm from the South, and they have a tradition back South, not as popular as it used to be, but the word of the phrase is using is Decoration Day. Anybody else familiar with that? A lot of folks would go to the grave of loved ones, those who served in the military, those who gave their life, and others as a memorial during that Memorial Day weekend. They would travel for miles back home or back to the home place, back to where those folks were buried, and have a time of a fellowship and greeting with family, but also a show of respect and going to the graveyards and decorating. That's why they called it Decoration Day. And I think it's important that we remember some things that sometimes it's so easy to forget as we focus on just the holiday itself. Let's read in our Bibles before our special music this morning. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 14. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or in the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up on our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those signs and wonders, and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which ye are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote in these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his own inheritance.
So I had a different song in mind this morning, and as the service began, the Lord kind of prompted me to sing something else. And I thought, okay, Lord, if it's in the hymn book, I'll sing it. So I grabbed the hymn book, and it wasn't. And so I thought, well, that's that. And the Lord says, no, I want you to sing this. So pray. I just whispered in Marlene's ear, and we'll see what it goes. Dear to my heart, they're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord.
Our text this morning, Joshua reminds the people of the choice they had made to serve the Lord. And we will get there in just a moment. This morning's message will be a little different than my normal style of preaching is, but I believe it's exactly what the Lord would have me to do this morning. The introduction is quite long, but the sermon itself, as the points, is really quite short. I want to share with you some points you can write in your Bible if you like. When we get there, you'll see the breakdown. But I want us to take a stroll down memory lane a little bit. I want to remind you a little bit of our heritage, of our past. And we need to be reminded and not so much complain about the things that we don't have anymore or the things that we don't have, but still the things that we have today, that we should not take them for granted. On Memorial Day, we remember those who have given their lives for this heritage of freedom we have in the United States today. Although our freedoms, such as the right of free speech, the right to bear arms, the ability to prosper in life through hard work and risk-taking, the rights to have our religion protected from government abuse and control. These things are being undermined and reduced almost daily. Our country, though, even under these circumstances, is still the best place to live in the world. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't always, as I mentioned, like to preach sermons tailored around the world's holidays. However, today I would like to remind you of the spiritual heritage that has been purchased for us. I'd like to challenge you, if you have never done this, and visiting some old towns or going to Europe on vacation. This may seem strange, but set aside some time to walk through some old funerals and graveyards and read the epitaphs, read the grave markers of some things and some history, as you will be challenged and learn some things. Dear friends, I'm talking about the people who gave their lives in the name of God in free worship long before the United States was ever established. I took a deep dive into history and to Googled a lot of things and a lot of reading. There's no way I could have used everything that I put together. But let me share a few things. I'm talking about people like Lady Anne Askew, who was tortured so cruelly by the Romanists in 1545 and 1546 in England that she had to be carried to the stake on which she was burned, unable to walk. Her crime? She refused to go to Mass. She said, "I had rather read five lines in the Bible than to hear five masses in the temple." Her body was chained to the stake because she could no longer hold it erect. And the wood piled about her, ready to be ignited, she was offered a full pardon if she would only recant. Miss Lady Askew replied, I came not hither to deny her my Lord and Master. And she was burned at the stake. We know so little about persecution for God's sake in our country. Our generation, the generation before us, the one behind us, we know so little. It's happening throughout all the world around us, yet we live here in our abundance and freedom, barely concerned that our brothers and sisters are enduring the same trials as our ancestors for all their sake, excuse me, just because of their sake or their trust for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so accustomed to religious freedom that we think persecution is being told that we can't pray before a ball game or we can't wear our John 3:16 shirt to school or to work. Dear friends, that might be a disruption, but that is not persecution. In China, standing for Christ can mean losing your job, being arrested or beaten by the police, having your home taken away, being sent to a re-education camp for 1 to 5 years of hard labor for being in prison and tortured for years. We have so much to learn from our brothers in China and elsewhere in the world that are committed. Their commitment to the Lord means more than just embarrassment or inconvenience. Another example, our freedom to worship has been purchased with a price. If we lose sight of that price and those who paid it, we will lose a sacrificial life conscious of the true cost of our commitment to Christ. I believe so few of us have had to pay that cost ourselves because others have paid it before us. It's easy to watch the news, to go to the graveyards, to remember, to take a moment of silence. But this Memorial Day, let's not just to remember, consider those who served our country, those who went before us to fight for our freedoms. What about those martyrs who died for the cause of Christ, that set the pace or the foundation that one day a people would leave the United Kingdom, would leave that part of the world to come to America to establish freedom? Have we also forgotten them and the sacrifices they have made? People like the nine-year-old son of John Fetty in 1958 London. While John Fetty was imprisoned by the Romanists for being a heretic, in other words, standing for Christ as the only way, he went to the bishop's house, the young boy, to see if he could see his father. When the priest told him that his father was a heretic, little young Fetty replied, "My father is no heretic, but you, sir, are a heretic." At those words, the young priest grabbed that young boy and about beat him half to death before the bishop stepped in, releasing his father and sending them home that the people may not find out the young boy died 14 days later. People like the group of Christians meeting in Farmers Field in Islington, England for prayer and Bible study because they did not feel it was right to go to Mass. They were apprehended during one of their meetings and put in chains. Henry Pond, Ronald Eastlin, Robert Southam, Matthew Ricarby, John Floyd, John Holliday, Roger Holland, and more than a dozen others were burned at the stake for daring to seek God outside of the Romanist organization. People like William Tyndale, many of us have heard of him. If you know anything about Bible translations, you've heard that name. He was kidnapped from his home while in exile in Holland and burned at the stake by the Romanists. What was his crime? Translating the Bible into English so that all his countrymen could read it for themselves. Dear friends, let me challenge you the next time you open your Bible to read it, to remember that someone made a great sacrifice, maybe even given their life, that we might have it in our own language. Yes, in all of our freedom and abundance, we are embarrassed to carry our Bible into a public place or to pray before a meal at a restaurant. Oh, I hope that is not this crowd. Please forgive me. I'm not just talking to this crowd. I'm talking knowing that this will go out on the internet. There'll be others that may view or listen or watch. But either way we look at it, we must and need to be reminded of what others went through that, so we can still have not only our freedoms, but our religious freedoms. Have we so soon forgotten, again, the price that was paid so that we could carry our Bibles publicly? We don't live in a country. We don't live in a land where we cannot carry our Bibles. I have visited countries where they could not. I have flown into China to visit and was even asked about Bibles, making sure I didn't have a copy. Even told you might want to delete it from the app that you have on your phone to be careful because you could be arrested. I've been in other parts of the country in Eastern Europe and other places where the forefathers and ancestors and grandfathers and great-grandfathers were in prison just for standing for truth and preaching the gospel. When our children were home, Michelle and I would rarely would go out to eat. But when we did, we always paused and took time to thank God and publicly and loudly prayed and asked God's blessings for the food. Even the children, when they prayed, would lift their voice and not whisper and pray and asking God to bless the food before them. On occasion, folks would say, "It is so good to see a young couple and their children to bow their heads and pray. We don't see that much anymore." I thought about that phrase through the years, though it made me feel good, though it made me think about it, made me thankful while I was a good witness. But as I've gotten older and I've thought about it, some of my thinking has changed. Though I was grateful when that comment came my way, but then again, since then, I have thought more about it. At that time in our country, during the time that Michelle and I were young and our children still at home, about 85% of America claimed to be Christians. Wouldn't it be reasonable to think that 85% of the people in a restaurant would bow their head and pray? But yet today that number has dropped to about 65%. And Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world today, even in America. You would think there was something wrong, that we'd be grateful and remember to pray and think we're only but a few that might bow their heads and pray. Again, I was grateful. But as years gone by and I've gotten a little older and a little wiser, I wonder where the other percentage are in the restaurants. Do Christians no longer believe that it's important to thank God for a meal and ask His blessings upon it? Are we too embarrassed or afraid to be seen praying in public? Another thought. Christian, if you won't pray in a restaurant, then don't get all stirred up when some official says you can't pray before a sporting event. You've already chosen your side. You've already cast your lot. If you are too embarrassed to carry your Bible in a public place, then don't get upset when they tell your kids they can't carry their Bible to school or have prayer or Bible club during or after school. You've already cast your vote to marginalize Jesus in our culture. I'm afraid the opposition, I'm afraid the minority crowd that is against God is so much louder than we that we tend to hold our tongue when we should not, but we should remember others before us and be willing to be the voice in today's society for those who come behind us. Another thought, another question. How little we understand the cost of freedom that we enjoy? When's the last time that we really took account and thought about the freedoms we enjoyed and think, do I really take advantage or am I remembering them well? How little we speak and teach of the price that was paid so that we can freely worship God and have a Bible in our own language. Let me challenge you, friends. When's the last time you picked up a book of martyrs and read it? That you picked up and read Baptist history? That you picked up and read a book on history and religion in a local church, or when the first church was established in America and what cost it was during that time? I challenge you to do so. When we hear or read of accounts of Christians in far corners of the world being persecuted for the name of Christ, we should not respond, "Oh, those poor people," but instead understand, "But for the grace of God, there go I." Have you ever thought? Have you ever thanked God for being born in America? Have you ever thanked God for not being born in another country? Have you ever thanked God and praised Him for the liberties that we still have? Have you taken the time to go down memory lane, not just on Memorial Day, but a regular thing, thanking God for what you still have and can use and carry and speak of today in the world that we live in? We could look at an example upon example of how the price was paid for us. But let us go into another question. What are we doing with the freedom that has been purchased for us at the cost of blood and fire? See, we have freedoms that we enjoy today because somebody else paid the price for us. In India and other countries around the world, groups of Christians go out on the streets handing out tracts and witnessing. I use India, note that I've never been there, but I have friends that go there every year to teach and train and help local pastors. So often they are beaten by the Muslims and Hindus, sometimes daily, but I'm told they simply can't stop them from going out again and again and again. Dear friends, I don't know about you. If I went out next week, if I went out tomorrow and began talking to people, tell them about Christ openly and publicly, loudly, maybe disrupting some things, what people aren't used to, and I got beat up, I'm not sure if I go back to the same place again. I don't know that I'll go back at all. But yet there are some Christians who love those who don't know any better, who beat them just for trying to tell them about Jesus, will heal their wounds and get up and go out and do it again. In the United States, pastors have to plead and beg for people to go out and be a witness. And in most cases, you just simply can't get them to go. Folks, it's easy to leave a tract here and there. It's easy to sit at a restaurant and ask your server, "How can I pray for you?" It's easy to go somewhere and just leave a tract without even talking with anybody. It's easy to go to Walmart and while you're going through self-checkout to maybe leave behind a tract and a bag for the next person that comes along inviting them to church. It's not that hard. I know we get some opposition. And if it's hard for you to be confrontational, then be a little sly and leave it somewhere where someone can pick it up or not, or take it home with them. Dear friends, why is it so much easier for an Indian Christian to go out into the streets facing death and a beating than it is for Americans to go out and face only embarrassment or maybe even being cursed out? The churches are growing in India, in China, in the Philippines, and other parts of the country despite the persecution and lack of resources that they have. Yet the United States, in the midst of our freedom and abundance, churches are shrinking and closing. And your pastor knows this firsthand as traveling and helping churches for 6 years before coming here at the rate of hundreds of churches of like faith. Over 2,000 across all denominations, but over 200 of like faith closing their doors because they can't seem to keep going on or are too embarrassed to invite someone to church. Christians are multiplying in remote parts of Africa, in Asia, in South America, where churches are advancing. But here in the U.S., churches are decreasing, they're retreating, they're declining. How can it be that people living in such a poverty, destitution, under the threat of beatings and death for simply living as a Christian are advancing the cause of Christ? Why is it under such hardship they're still pursuing and going forward? At an unimaginable rate, they are growing, while Christians in our country with comfort, riches, opportunity, immense in these areas, freedoms are achieving so little? Are we too comfortable? Have we forgotten where we came from? Have we forgotten the mission of the Word of God to go out and tell others? Do we need to go back again and read the history books, to read a few books to remind ourselves of the path that was laid and if we're carrying on that tradition of our churches today? How often do we think about or remember the reason for the holiday we're in today? On Memorial Day, we will remember the soldiers, the airmen, the Marines and the sailors who gave their lives for the heritage of freedom we enjoy in America today. Let's not forget to also remember those who have given their lives to purchase the spiritual heritage that we enjoy today. Those that were martyrs, those that had given their life. Let me challenge you. Let me beg of you to mark in your Bible, to mark in your calendar, to remind you, if it's only once a year, then at least it's once a year. But more often, to thank the Lord for the Word of God and those that paid the price for it. To thank God for the church that we have today and for those who have laid the foundation, have made the sacrifice that we might have the religious freedom that we have. Dear friends, if we forget the price that was paid and treat it lightly, we will one day lose it because of our complacency. Think about it. This loss, falling into complacency, forgetting those things, will require our children, our grandchildren, to pay that high cost of religious freedom all over again. And all it takes for us is to use the voice that we have, to do all we can, to do our part as American citizens. It won't be long. It'll take some time to be voting. We should be good citizens. We should register to vote. We should vote our conscience and stand for what we believe in. Don't stay home. Cast your ballot. We may agree or disagree on who or what, but use the Bible as your guideline and your conscience to cast your votes. Don't allow those things that have gone on before us to be wasted, but continue to move forward for the cause of Christ. Again, we have forgotten to be thankful for the meaning of the holidays that we celebrate. How often do we think about or remember the reason for the holiday? Personally, I enjoy a day off with my family and friends. I will enjoy the long weekend with my sweetheart, Princess Michelle, and we'll have a wonderful time. We'll spend time with friends. Some of our family will be here. Some of our family will be gone. We'll enjoy it, but we'll also take some time. Let us remember to consider and take some time today and tomorrow and remember the men and women who gave their life to protect the freedom and the way of life that we live today in our country. Remember some few quotes that I found on the internet and in some other notes in my library. It's the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us freedom of religion. It is a veteran, not the reporter, who gave us freedom of the press. It is a veteran, not the poet, who gave us freedom of speech. It is a veteran, not the campus organizer, who gave us freedom to assemble. And oh, how that has taken advantage and been askew today in our country. But it was the veteran and not the campus organizer. It is a veteran, not the lawyer, who gave us the right to a fair trial. It is a veteran and not the politician who gave us the right to vote. And dear friends, may I add, it was a martyr that fought and stood for religious freedom that gave us the freedoms that we still have today. Today, I would like to consider something else that we often forget. Shameful as it is, we often forget who our master is and whom that we would serve. I think if we'll remember who our master is and whom we serve, it will help us to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. It will help us to remember those that have gone on before us. It will help us to remember and be established and be reminded of the freedoms that we have today. Because, dear friends, if I often say, if we have this right, it'll be a lot easier to have this right in this direction today. John Newton's gravestone reads, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he long labored to destroy." The way he lived was wrong, but there was an about face, there was a change of direction, and God changed his life. Most remember that Newton was a slave trader before his conversion, but how many of us has forgotten that he was captured and served as a slave himself in Africa? It was on his trip home to England after his rescue that Newton trusted Christ as his Savior. All of us serve something or someone. We talk about being free, but everyone serves what he or she obeys. Who has our ear? You have often heard me say, whoever has your ear will steer. Things that you listen to, things that you watch will have an impact on your life. We talk about being free, but everyone serves, again, what he or she obeys. The choice is not if we will serve, but who or what will we serve? This is a challenge that Joshua, back in our text, Joshua 24, this choice, this is a challenge that Joshua posed to the children of Israel near the end of his life. Again, in Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, my friend, the devil offers us freedom from God's yoke, but his lies conceal the heavier yoke that he wants to place upon our shoulders. Back in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy, but my burden is light." Dear friends, you can be sure that the devil only offers a counterfeit product. Again, back to Joshua 24, in the first part of this chapter, Joshua gathers the people together and helps them to remember what the Lord has done for them. In verse number 13, Joshua reminds them of the land, the promised land that the Lord gave them. Now in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 28, Joshua renews the covenant between the Israelites and God. And notice with me again, verse 14 through 16. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and serve ye the Lord." In my Bible, I have a number one, very small marking above the phrase, "Fear the Lord and serve him," and then submarked "in sincerity and in truth." And then I have highlighted, "Serve ye the Lord," verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," and then I have a little number three here, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." See, the problem is through the years and past this, though a statement was made by our forefathers, our religious forefathers, to stand true to this, to make the commitment to serve God, to forget about the gods of the world, it has been watered down through the years, and here we are today. We need to be reminded. You see, the problem we have in our generation is that we have little or no fear of a holy and righteous God. God help us is right. We as believers, we can say, I'm talking about as a country. I also believe there are some Christians or those who profess to be Christians wonder, do they really have a fear of a righteous and holy God? Do they have a reverential fear and desire to honor him and to obey him? Notice again in verse 14. Joshua says, "Fear the Lord and serve him." I would like for us to look at the advice of Joshua in the closing statements. As I've had a long introduction, it'll be short from here. The advice of Joshua and the need for us to apply it to our lives today. Back in verse 14, once again, we see, "Fear the Lord and serve him." Number one, simply, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord. And how do we do that? In sincerity and in truth. How sincere are we in our witness? How sincere are we in our fear of the Lord and serving the Lord? But we also need to not only in sincerity, but in truth. Dear friends, we have the truth, the complete, inerrant Word of God to share and to tell others about our faith in Christ. Let it speak for itself. Joshua reminds them and he tells them, fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity, serve Him and in truth. And then thirdly, he says, put away the strange gods. Oh, preacher, there's no strange gods in my life. Really? What occupies your time? Has it become a god? What keeps you from the house of God? I'm not referring to our health. I'm not concerning our job. But what keeps us from the house of God? What keeps us from fellowship with other Christians? What keeps us from being in the Word of God? What idol captures our attention, steals our time, when at the end of the day we wonder, well, how much time did I spend with God today? But yet we spent countless hours in front of the TV or reading or just doing nothing in the advancement of our Savior. Number four, remember, fear the Lord, serve the Lord, put away the strange god. And fourthly, Joshua tells them, and serve the Lord. Notice verse 15 again, and we're almost finished. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here's that phrase again. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's look at those two phrases as we close this morning. First phrase there, choose you this day whom you will serve. Hello, friend, listen to me. Make a choice. Make a choice. He says, we will serve the Lord, but before that, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. And let me ask you simply put, have you made your choice? Who do you serve? Who takes preeminence in your life? Who is the important thing, or whom the important thing that you spend time with daily? Make a choice. His next phrase, he says, we will serve the Lord. Let me say, dear friends, declare and stand on your decision. Declare and stand on your decision. The lost world, our neighbors, need us. They need us to make a choice and to declare and stand on our decision. So in closing this morning, Harvest, what will you do? What will we do as a church? Will you join me in saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will make sure that we're before the Word of God. We will make sure that we're in remembrance. We'll make sure that we remember those who have gone on before us, the martyrs and those who gave their life for religious freedom, those who are patriotic and gave their life for the freedoms that we have in our country today. We will make a conscious choice. We will declare and stand on our decision by the grace of God while we still can. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist will make her way to the piano and begin playing as soon as she is ready. I wonder this morning, in just a moment, with heads bowed, in a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer. Lord willing, we'll have the words up and we're going to sing the song that we sang earlier and as a form of invitation. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment, maybe there's someone here today and who doesn't know that they know that they're saved. Maybe they've come here unexpectedly, thinking of here maybe only a Memorial Day service or Memorial Day service. But let me ask, do you remember a time in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you have never trusted Him, why not make today a memorable day in your life and come and let someone show you how you can be saved, how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And then Christians, let me ask, are you reminding yourself daily of what others have done for you? The preeminence of being our Savior who gave His life, but others who also gave their life that we can continue to have the religious freedom, and those who gave their life that we can have the freedoms as citizens in America. We need to remember. We need to be reminded. Father, bless this time of invitation. Speak to the hearts of your people. May people respond according to your will, how you would have them respond. Help us to be ever mindful of the advice that Joshua gave to the people, and help us to take it wholeheartedly, to make a stand, to declare where we stand, and to serve you no matter what anyone else is doing. We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior. Amen. Let's look this way, and Brother Sam, you come and lead us as we